Welcome to Narratives. Does walking past the department store scent counter leave you with a headache and aching sinuses? You are not alone. As a fellow sufferer, Kate Grenville sets out to find just what you're reacting to in today's over-scented world.
When I was little, my mother had a tiny, precious bottle of perfume on her dressing table. And on special occasions, she'd put a dab behind her ears. The smell of arpège was always linked in my mind with excitement and pleasure. Mum with her hair done, wearing her best dress and her pearls, off for a night out with Dad. Later, old enough to have my own special occasions, I also had my favourite perfume. I loved what those bottles promised. Elegance, beauty, poise, and of course, desire. I'd set off for a date in a cloud of scent, feeling sumptuous and sexy. The boys I was dating were enveloped in their own clouds of Old Spice, a smell forever associated for me with the slippery back seats of cars. The boys never commented on my perfume, but one day a woman I envied for her smartness and stylishness exclaimed to me, "Oh, you're wearing white linen," and I basked in her tone of respect and admiration. I couldn't understand what happened a short time after I'd sailed out of the house in a cloud of scent. For half an hour I'd feel sumptuous and sexy, and then I'd get a headache. My eyes would get dry and sore. I'd get congested in the nose. I'd just want to go home. Was it the strain of being sumptuous and sexy? Did I have some sort of phobia about going on dates? If I thought about it at all, it was to blame myself. Thinking back, it might even have been one of the things that made me a writer. You don't need to sit in a cloud of elegance when you're alone at the desk trying to think of another way of saying, "he said." Then in my 50s, I got a virus and took a long time to get better. Afterwards, I realised that I'd become a lot more sensitive to scents. Now it wasn't just what I used myself. It was the stuff other people were using too. For quite a time, I tried to ignore an unwelcome fact. Pretty much anything that involved being with other people in a confined space would mean a headache. Until it happened to me, I'd never heard of anyone who had a problem with fragrance. As far as I was concerned, the smells in perfume, cologne, and scented bathroom and cleaning products were some ingenious concoction of essence of flowers put together by glamorous French people. My feeling was, if I kept cheerful and took a bit of evasive action, my fragrance sensitivity would probably go away. I wrote a light-hearted little piece for my website, "Thanks for Not Wearing Fragrance," and developed a few tricks for avoiding the worst of other people's perfumes and the headaches that would follow. I chose outside tables in cafes. I fended off women who wanted to greet me with a kiss, and when they said, "Oh, have you got a cold?" I nodded. I asked my friends not to wear perfume when we saw each other, and being friends, they agreed, and most of them remembered. Then in early 2015, I published a book about my mother and went on tour to promote it. It was going to take me to every state over months of intermittent travelling, usually with Jane, the publicity manager at Text Publishing. The moment I got into the cab to go to the airport, I realised I was going to have a difficult time. A fragrance diffuser, a little glass thing full of liquid fragrance, was plugged into the air vent. Within half a minute, the familiar headache was back. The airport was full of perfume shops. The woman next to me on the plane radiated something strong and musky. The cab at the other end had another fragrance diffuser. The whole tour was a struggle against headache and brain fog. Until then, I hadn't realised just how hard it was to avoid fragrance in one form or another. But I learned cunning. I sprinted through the scented foyers of hotels with a scarf over my nose. In cabs, I sat in the back, asked the driver to remove the fragrance diffuser, opened the window and stuck my head into the slipstream like a dog, arriving bedraggled and windblown. The last hotel of the tour was in Launceston. Thank heavens the room itself wasn't fragranced and you could open the window, but the scent in the corridor was so strong that I could smell it pouring into the room through the crack between the door and the jamb. I didn't unpack, just went straight back out into the street and walked until I found a newsagent where I could buy a roll of packaging tape. That night, when all the book business was done and I'd said goodnight to Jane, I taped up the crack around the door. I showered, washed the accumulated scents out of my hair, hung the fragrance clothes in the bathroom and shut the door on them. I lay on the bed, sealed in like a pharaoh, feeling the headache gradually fade. As I lay admiring my handiwork, making a mental note always to travel with a roll of tape, I realised I wasn't going to tell Jane about what I'd done. I had a nasty feeling that I'd just crossed one of life's little boundaries. It was possible that I had joined the section of humanity that thinks the moon landings were faked by the CIA or the government put Prozac in the water supply. After all, everyone else took fragrance for granted as a normal part of their lives. They were not reduced to sealing themselves into hotel rooms with packaging tape. Finally, I sat up on the gigantic bed and opened my laptop. When you Google fragrance headache, you release a great chorus of voices and access a mass of scientific research about fragrance. I felt as if I'd innocently pushed open a door that I hoped would provide the answer to a simple question: why do I get headaches from fragrance? It had instead revealed a dark and dangerous landscape.
You've been listening to Kate Grenville, reading from her book, The Case Against Fragrance. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Canvas Bay FM 99.9 and is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.